Welcome to the worldwide premiere of the Giggle Review, baby. That's right. We're talking all things giggle.
A lot of giggling.
That's all
a lot
I
of
got.
Giggling going on. Giggling with joy, perhaps? Maybe? I mean, there were certainly tears of joy from me this week. I don't know about you, Crispy, but there were tears of joy from me.
Tears of confusion, maybe. Tears of confusion.
Tears of leaks, maybe? Leaks? Leak tears? I don't know.
I think this was the big thing that everyone was talking about with that leak.
It was, and so we're going to get into that later. But I think it's time that we get into our review of the giggle. And how do we always start it?
By rolling the intro.
So let's do it. Hello and welcome back to Who's There, a Doctor Who podcast, the show where two WhoTubers get together and talk about the greatest show in all of time and space, Doctor Who. I am one of your hosts, Troy, also known as Red Archer Live, and joining me to chat about the final story of the 14th Doctor, or is it? It's Crispy Crow. How are you doing, sir?
I'm all right. How are you, Troy?
Oh, it's an exciting time, is it not? It's an exciting time.
It is. It's a strange time. I wasn't expecting this.
Can I just give you a fun statistic? To start
yes,
this off.
Okay.
For our podcast, we will now have reviewed a total of 5 episodes. Of those 5, 2 are regeneration stories.
Wow.
40% of the episodes we've covered live are regeneration stories.
Our regeneration episodes, yeah. No, it's very strange. Very strange indeed. But, you know, that's what we've had for the past 2 years. We've had these 5 stories. We've had 2 doctors. Now 3 doctors, I suppose.
Indeed.
I don't know. But yeah. No, I'm excited to talk about the giggle today. It seems to be one of the episodes that I think will be a talking point for years and years and years to come.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know how you're feeling after watching it, Troy.
Watching it twice. Feeling very good.
You've watched it twice?
So, for context, because Crispy obviously didn't want to get up at 3 in the morning. He has got up, watched the episode, and he's here now. Whereas I have watched the episode, I've watched Doctor Who Unleashed with my mum, and also we've sat and watched the commentary, which had Phil Collinson, the producer, David Tennant, and Russell T Davies all talking through the episode. And honestly, they really did speak as though people had seen the episode, because there is almost like, I think maybe 1 or 2 minutes of the episode you actually hear the dialogue, the rest is just them talking.
chit-chatting.
Yeah. But it shares some very interesting information, including Russell's long-awaited plan to execute a bi-generation, or at least theory. So we'll be talking about that later.
Right. Okay.
It wasn't an off-the-cuff thing. He's been thinking about it for a while. So I'm
Felt
intrigued
pretty
to talk
off-the-cuff.
About it. Oh, I'm intrigued. I'm very excited. but we've got a few features to talk about, a few cool things. And I think we just get straight into it by talking about this week's poll, because we got to get Wild Blue Yonder out of the way. You know, it's been a week.
All right.
He's on cue. It's poll time. I pointed to him. I was thinking it was Crispy's turn. Oh, whoops. Okay, sorry. Sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, last week we asked you, much like the week before, what you thought of the special of the weekend, which was Wild Blue Yonder. Just before we go into the results, Crispy, have you watched the episode again since? Has your opinion changed, if so?
Many, many times. Yeah, I think I like it much, much more than I did. I think, with the Star Beast on rewatch, I kind of liked it a little bit less. But with Wild Blue Yonder, I liked it a little bit more.
Before seeing the giggle, which one did you prefer?
Wild Blue Yonder.
Okay. See, so I watched it twice on the day, like I said, with my mum. I think I might have watched it once myself, or bits of it. I watched the bit with Wilfin about 5 or 6 times. I know that much.
Yeah.
But we watched it again. My mum and I watched all 3 specials today. And she in particular noted that after a week, like rewatching Wild Blue Yonder, she loved it. She liked it a lot more. So that was quite interesting to me.
Interesting.
And I definitely enjoyed it more. But we asked you whether you liked it, didn't mind it, or didn't like it, just like last time. And on YouTube, this has got to be, I don't know what our last record is, I think I've said this before, but it's got to be a record. 868 votes on YouTube.
Nice.
And still a very good 41 audio as well. So some really good results. Crispy, what percentage do you think liked it?
84%.
A little bit higher. YouTube, 88%, and audio, 92.7%. So on YouTube,
very good.
88 said they liked it, 9% said they didn't mind it, and only 3% said they didn't like it. Meanwhile, over on Spotify, as I've said, 92.7% liked it, 4.9% didn't mind it, and 2.4% didn't like it. So I think it's safe to say that episode went down pretty damn well.
No, well, that's exciting. I'm glad everyone enjoyed it. It was the wildest and bluest episode we've ever had.
Very true. Very, very, very true. Okay. We have a tiny bit of news that I want to get out of the way, and then we can get straight into this, because we've got a lot to talk about. I've got some features planned that Crispy either has forgotten or doesn't know about, so it's exciting. So can you ding the dong for me, please?
I will ding this dong.
I don't have images ready, because honestly, I don't want to get into us talking about everything. But first off, I think it's important to note that on Monday, a song is being released from Murray Gold. Called The Goblin Song. It will feature in the Christmas special, The Church on Ruby Road, and it is actually a part of the episode. I'm guessing they're trying to get a Christmas single. I don't know if that's the actual intention or not. That might be a joke, but you can listen to a song from the episode as of Monday on all audio streaming platforms, everywhere you get your music. So,
okay.
What do you think of that, Crispy? Interesting.
I mean, I'm all for goblin songs.
Mm.
It's not a genre of music that I delve into a lot, but I hear goblin songs are good.
I like to goblin them up.
Goblin.
Exactly. See, delicious. He's on my wavelength. He's on my...
wave.
Length. Exactly. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that.
We're like two peas in a...
pod. Exactly. Look at that. Two doctors in a...
podcast.
I was going to say two doctors on a unit helipad. Can I just point out, we're going to get to this, but the irony that you memed that unit helipad for like the best part of a year plus, and it is now the location of one of what will no doubt be the most controversial things the show has
controversial
ever done.
Yep, correct. Yep.
Oh my days, it's going to be amazing. I'm so keen. Okay, slight only other thing, and this is only for really the video listeners, because by the time this comes out on audio, unless you can get to London within 2 hours of this coming out, you're going to struggle. But there is a couple of statues up in South Bank right now in London made out of recycled technology that are the faces of Shooty and David Tennant on display. And apparently, tomorrow, between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. UK time, if you go, you get the exclusive preview of the 15th Doctor Sonic Screwdriver. So by tomorrow afternoon, pictures will be all over the internet. So...
weird.
But it kind of explains why, considering we saw a bit of it in The Next Time, which you'll see whenever you catch that. But yeah, that's the news there. I think that's all the news. I think that's everything. Have we had anything else? I don't think we have we?
No, I think we're good. I think we're good to go.
Okay, then ladies and gentlemen, let's get right into our chat about The Giggle. Crispy, what am I going to ask you? What do I always ask you?
Out of 10.
Score out of 10. Let's start as we mean to go on. And chat, I want all of you to put numbers in the live chat right now. How many people are watching? Let's have a little look. I haven't checked since we've got into the recording a little bit. 140 people are currently here. Very amazing. Thank you very much. Please like the video if you're enjoying it. And if you haven't clicked subscribe, do it, please. Thank you. But score from 1 to 10, chat. Get putting them in there. Crispy, what's yours?
I think... this is interesting. I think just on face value, if we're going straight out right now, out the gates, I'm going to have to go for a similar 7.5 out of 10.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. What about you?
So hang on, before me, so what score do you give Wild Blue Yonder now that your opinion's improved? Just so I can judge.
An 8.5.
Okay, so you don't think it's the best special? I am quite comfortably at a 9. I may well put it up higher upon rewatch.
Really?
I only have one issue with the episode, I'll be honest with you.
Not enough unit helipad, perhaps?
It kind of is. It ties into that, to be honest. I think the episode was too short.
Oh.
I actually would have really liked to have seen the Power of the Doctor length cut of this episode. I'm not saying it exists, but I just feel like it was very, very breakneck. Not necessarily in a bad way, but I just would have liked a little bit more going on. I don't think it was missing anything. I just felt like it was over too quickly, which might just be because I enjoyed it. I don't know.
I think it was a consistent pace, but I think it was a very fast-paced episode. So I completely understand that, because it does go by pretty quickly. But I think the first two acts of this special were absolutely fantastic. I love the pre-title sequence. I thought that was particularly creepy.
Yes.
Neil Patrick, like the whole toy maker, I thought that was...
he was amazing.
Like, that was just a really, really cool villain to see updated in the modern day. And, like, Neil Patrick Harris, of course he wasn't going to refuse that role. That had everything. Mm-hmm. That had everything. He'd be like, yes, sign me up, Russell, please. But I think, the last act, I don't know. There was a lot going on. And I don't know how I feel about it yet.
Okay. All right. Well, Crispy, we can either get straight into talking about all the episodes, like all the episode, all the features of it, or we can play a little bit of a game. A game of my own, you might say.
A game?
Would you like to play a game?
hang on, Troy, I'm hearing... Hang on, sorry, there's something... There's hear? Something in my head. There's something in my head. There's something in my head.
See, I did that.
I'm right, Troy. I'm right.
Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, you always think that's no change to normal. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to play a game with Crispy and with the audience. Okay, we've got several things to do. We've even got Who's Their Hotline later and a special teaser IRL content if you've not seen it earlier. We've got this a packed episode. There's a lot to talk about. But I mentioned this. I think it was after you'd gone off the call on the live stream last week. I don't think you know about this. But I messaged one of our regular commenters, Dr. Master, who I've seen on Twitter, constantly talking about the leaks. And I said, I was like, you know, I've been trying to be careful seeing your tweets popping up because occasionally I'm like, ah, I'm going to see a leak. But I said, I was like, yeah, after the episode comes out, can you send me the original leak? We can read it out on the episode and see what everyone was getting up in arms over. Because I want to see
stuff that is there stuff from series 14.
She has checked it and got rid of anything to do with Church Ruby Road. Make sure there's nothing in there.
Thank you. So, okay, because this was interesting. Mm-hmm. I was wondering because I kept on hearing, especially on the 50% Boys podcast, they were like, "I'm pretty sure the leak mentioned that in like every single review." Anyway, so yes, thank you for sending that through.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued to see what's going on.
So, you ready to hear my a read through of the leak? It's for all the specials, but it'll take about a minute probably to get through. It's intriguing. So this is the leak that when it came out, everyone went, "Oh, we're in trouble." Like, I didn't see nearly anybody reading the leaks going, "This sounds good." And I said this at the time, I feel like reading a leak online separate to seeing it in the episode will give you two very different perceptions, seeing it out of context versus in.
Of course.
So here we go. Here is the leak for the 60th anniversary specials. Thank you again, Ella, Dr. Master, for sending this to us. The Doctor has to give Donna her memories back to stop the meat from destroying London. Donna dies, but doesn't because her daughter inherited half the Metacrisis power. There are two Doctors by the end of the giggle because the Doctor bi-regenerates, which was supposed to be a myth according to 14. The second special, Wild Blue Yonder, happens because in the end of special 1, Donna spills coffee on the TARDIS. You can see how accurate these leaks were. Like, probably by last week, everyone was going feral. Rose Tyler does not show up in anything other than previously 15 years ago segment at the start of the special. The Meep didn't crash, it was on purpose. Rose is non-binary and uses she, they pronouns. The reason she is kind of is because of the Doctor as the Doctor is also he, she, or they, depending on regeneration. Rose gets annoyed at the Doctor for assuming the Meep is a he. The Toymaker says he has played one game with the previous Doctor, the second with the 14th, and now he must play with the next Doctor. Someone clearly just saw the entire script. Oh my days. Because this leak came out 2 months ago. Like, for context, Russell recorded this commentary for the giggle
insane.
That I've seen with David on the 10th of October. They dated it. And in that commentary, he went, "Oh, Bi-Generation's already leaked. It's already been leaked." So this has been around.
So they know about it. They know about it too. Crikey.
As the 14th regenerates, he finds he wasn't changed, but there is a 15th Doctor next to him. This is where the "what the hell is going on here" is said. Later, they both in unison say, "I challenge you to a game," but the Toymaker, annoyed, says, "That's cheating. There's two of you." And 14 says, "According to the rules, you can't say no." He accepts the challenge, and together they manage to win the game, and the 14th prize was to banish the Toymaker from existence. But after the game, 14, 15, Donna and Mel discuss the consequences of their adventures, mentioning Sarah Jane, Adric, and River Song. Donna tells the Doctors why don't they just take a break and enjoy the simpler life, and that's when the 15th Doctor remembers he hasn't said what his prize would be, a second TARDIS. Now the 14th Doctor stays behind while the 15th flies off in the TARDIS. That was the leak that dropped 2 months ago.
Gosh,
talk about
that
in
was
depth.
So, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I never read that.
So
that,
am I. I actually saw the picture on my Twitter feed more than once and quickly went, ah,
yeah, no, absolutely. I did keep on seeing the phrase bi-regeneration.
That's the term, yes. I don't know if I'd said it on record, but that is the term I'd heard pretty much since October.
I don't know.
And I was like...
Yeah, I don't know if we've talked about it, but yeah. So I had an idea that was going to happen.
So loads of people in the chat saying, "Thank God I didn't see this." Oh, and by the way, I didn't look over the scores. Let's just have a look at the scores. Quick speed run of the scores from the chat. 9, 10, 9, 8.5, 8, 7, 6, 7, 9, 9.5, 10, 9, 15, 16, 9, 9, 8, 8, 9.5, 10, 10, 5. Ooh, 9.5, 100 million, 8, 7, 8.5, 9.9, 9. And we finish with Barney, who said 15. Barney Cockapoo's mum.
Binary, binary, binary.
Yeah, binary, 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 binary. Binary the Cockapoo's mum. So there's our leak feature. We've become fairies for a very brief point of time.
Yes, we did. A couple of leak kings in the house.
That much came out. I can't believe that.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked at that. And now I'm worried because there was stuff for the Christmas special in that leak, I'm pretty sure.
But
like,
you know
they
what?
Had the
like,
title. But
I liked all of the execution in this episode, which I'm sure we'll get into. So any fear over any potential leaks, it's gone. I kind of was like, have faith in Russell anyway. Like, bro has not made a mistake. Like, my biggest problem, as you know, is him not putting David in Jodie's outfit. But, I mean, that's...
Yeah, and that was
in the grand scheme of things,
was it?
Well, do you know what? I think I remember saying that I was really expecting him to explain it and give a story reason. But honestly, when all is said and done, I don't really mind that they didn't explain it, because it has happened once before. One regenerates to two and the outfit changed.
Yeah,
and I don't think
true.
That was explained, so... I don't hate that it's not explained again here. I wouldn't have minded an explanation, but I also don't care that there wasn't one. It's kind of like it's not that deep. I
thought it was going to play into the larger narrative, because the one main through line throughout the entirety of these three specials was the 14th Doctor saying, oh, why did this face come back? That was like, if we're going to have like a series arc, that would have been the main through line. From the whole thing. And I thought that the close, appearing would have been that as well. So I find it interesting that... So what is the reason his face came back? It was so that he could be with Donna's family and, like, retire?
So the way I'm looking at it is that the Doctor is constantly moving on from person to person, never takes a moment to stop and talk. You know, something that was quite consistently said with 13 and Yaz. Never gets a chance to actually rest and get over some of the things that have happened. They're always moving on. So the way I'm looking at it is, and I think in a way, and this is headcanon here, this is not in the script, I'm thinking what's happened is the face has come back, and that also is it's almost like a precursor to the bi-generation. I think that has happened in tandem with the next generation. They both kind of combine, because this old face has come back, which makes him aware of some of the trauma he's escaped and not faced. Then the Bi-Jet regeneration splits and he sees this is the next Doctor to continue the adventures. Maybe I need to just sit back and process what's happened over the last seven series of beloved BBC sci-fi television show Doctor Who. No, it's not even seven series, it's more than that.
Yeah,
it's series,
it's more than
or
that
nine.
Now.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Point being, you know, it's basically saying I need to have a break, I need to get over the trauma. Because it is, like, to be fair, it is a very common theme that the Doctor doesn't talk about things, that they just move on. And I do think, we've both said before, I'd appreciate more time where they sit down and talk and explain stuff. And
yeah, I agree, but
therapy.
I don't know if bi-regeneration was the go to get that plot point across. I think, I don't know. I like, if they're going to do the multi-doctor thing, I think, I don't know, I think genuinely think it could have been better utilized within the episode, because I don't know, there was a point where they were playing catch on the unit helipad and I was like, this is the most bananas show
it
in
is
the world
insane.
You know, only bloody Doctor Who could do this. So I don't know, I genuinely don't know how I feel. I think, yeah, absolutely, that especially since Wild Blue Yonder last week, you know, Donna mentioned the flux and the timeless child thing, and you know how the Doctor doesn't, you know, open up. Like, that is definitely, that's also a through line throughout these specials. And I think, yes, it should have been addressed. So maybe if we're doing crispy for showrunner things here, the doctor gets shot on the unit helipad and we have another Tenet extended regeneration where it takes a while for him to regenerate. And in that time, he just stops for a second and, you know, spends some time with Donna and Donna's family, and then at the end of it we have, you know, him say, I'm ready to let go now, and it would have been like this beautiful full circle thing, and then Shooty could be like, all right, I'm ready to face life again. But instead, I don't know, it was pretty bombastic, and I think, I don't know, this review might come back to haunt me. But now I don't know, we've got people in the chat asking, like, so can David Tennant regenerate now?
A lot of questions.
Have multiple...
I like your idea, I also like what we got. I'm happy with both.
I don't know. I'm going to have to rewatch it. I feel like with a lot of these rewatches, I need to kind of get it more in my head.
Well, to be fair,
I don't know.
I really like that his last words were Alan Z, or his last intentional words. You know, instead of I'm ready to go, it was just let's go.
Oh, yeah.
Poetry.
Okay. Yeah.
It's like poetry that rhyme, you know. Noted question. DW Boy 14. I think I heard Russell mention this in the commentary. It might have been a joke, but saying every Doctor in Tales of the TARDIS is a bi-regeneration as well. That could be an intriguing way to explain why there's, like, the older Doctors in Tales of the TARDIS talking to their companions.
For record, I haven't watched Tales of the TARDIS. Splinters. So.
Yeah, little splinters, yeah. I mean, he joked for a bit about how Paul McGann jumps out of the morgue and then he's, like, Sylvester McCoy's just trapped in the morgue for constantly trying to get out of it, which I thought was quite
like,
a funny, funny idea.
Oh, no.
I think now's a good... Should we just talk about the bi-regeneration for a bit?
Yes, right. Let's talk about it.
For context, in the Doctor Who commentary, Russell explains that for quite a while, he has said while he likes multi-doctor stories, he doesn't like the idea of writing one himself. He thinks, you know, the more doctors you bring in, the easier it is to solve problems, and then it removes any kind of tension. So he doesn't feel confident or doesn't want to write a story where that is a situation. He said, what I would have loved to have done, and I thought about it for years, yet I kind of wondered about it back when we were running it before. What if we do a multi-doctor story where instead of bringing back an old doctor, you have the current one and the next one both get to meet and have their face-off with the villain in an episode, and that be its own kind of unique multi-doctor story, and then you can move on with the new doctor then? And then he kind of came with the regeneration idea as a result of that. Apparently, before he even came back, he kind of hatched that at the same time as David Tennant coming back. I think is what he said.
So. Yeah, no doubt. I completely respect, and I think that is an interesting twist on the whole multi-doctor thing. But they played catch together. That was the big thing they needed two doctors to solve.
Did you not like that?
No. I mean, I like the idea of a simple game, and I liked the idea that the toy maker likes these games and likes getting challenged, and they did, you know, set up the whole catch thing. But I don't know. I was just sitting there watching. Maybe it was because I watched this episode with my girlfriend's brother, and this was like one of the first episodes of Doctor Who they'd ever watched. And they were kind of like, what's happening? And I was like, honestly, I don't know. I don't really know what's happening right now. Because I think, you know, having two doctors' minds together, I thought they would have, like, figured out, you know, kind of like a clever way to, deal with the situation, a doctory way to deal with that situation. But I think they handled that situation in a very similar fashion to how you and I would have handled that. We would have just played the game. Like, we didn't try to outsmart, outwit. We just, I don't know.
I kind of like the idea they beat the Toymaker in his own game. There's something poetic about that.
Yeah, okay. Well,
because it was a callback
to
him meeting him with the balls and then like being like, all right, your balls so much, then let's play with your balls, you know?
I understand that. Hilarious.
Again, we are after the
water
shed, so I can say that.
Yes. but yeah, I don't know. I'm genuinely very confused about this episode. But the first, I'm going to say the first like 45 minutes, I was like, this is going to be the best special. But that the last bit, I don't know. I don't know. I can't say it enough. I do not know, Troy. Mm. There's a giggle in my head.
Can I introduce you
and I'm
to
right.
some headcanon that might make you like the bio-generation a bit more?
A headcanon?
Yeah.
Ah, yes, my
headcanon.
Favorite
not
thing.
Not confirmed. Someone said this on Twitter. I am now inheriting this headcanon as my own, and I'm going to claim that I came up with it because it's too good, and okay. I kind of wish that I had. I reckon, and I don't actually know who said on Twitter, I'm not intentionally stealing it, I just don't remember, I saw it in passing. I retweeted it or liked it or something, so you can always see that. What if the curator is a preceding doctor from Bioregenerated 14? Both of them are doctors that are just chilling, doing their own thing. And curator did say, I mean, it would be even more poetic than ever for the curator being the one to say, you'll revisit a few old faces, if perhaps the Bioregenerated doctor just kind of bounces between old faces and has a relax and doesn't continue in the same way that 15 will. Could be an interesting thing.
Sure.
Just a thought.
Why not?
Just a thought.
Why not? But I don't know what the implications are. Is Shooty any less of a doctor now that we have the other doctor?
No, Shooty is the doctor. It's just that 14 is like kind of hung around. It's like that friend that you kind of like, you look at and you go, are you leaving so we can do our own thing? And then they just kind of sit there like, this is a great party, you know? It's that kind of thing. It's like, it's just kind of loitering like this music's pretty good, isn't it? And you're looking at him going, will you please get lost now? And then eventually they do, and you're like, oh, thank God, you know?
Interesting. I've been that person.
No, I'm joking. Same. I was trying to think of a metaphor off the top of my head, but no, yeah, Crispy was the one telling me to go. No, that was us in Liverpool. You and your girlfriend were chilling,
like,
and I was just like stood next to you, like, "Isn't this a nice city?" And you're like, "Are you gonna leave us at any point?"
You leave, bro. You out of here? No.
This is intriguing. No. Honestly, do you know what? I really went into this expecting us to both like the bio-regeneration thing or bio-generation. I really did.
It's not that I dislike it. I just don't think it could have been used to its full potential. This is like a big. This is a huge thing for Doctor Who. This is probably the biggest talking point since, say, The Timeless Child. And since then, I think Russell did a brilliant job with The Timeless Child stuff, addressing it finally.
And Flux again today.
I mean, that we can get into that as well. But yeah, this is the first time we've ever had a bi-regeneration. And they played catch? I don't know. It would be like introducing a big, bad villain for, say, a cinematic universe, only for it to be defeated by ants. You know, it'd be something like that.
Now you've said that, like, we're really not going to agree. Because without MODOK, that wouldn't have worked. Anyway, so, moving on.
A great film. Such a good film.
I did like that film. We've been through it.
Yeah, I know.
So, okay, so it's not necessarily the bi-generation that you don't like, it's more that it felt anticlimactic afterwards to you.
Yeah, I just think it could have been utilized and set up a bit better. I don't know. As I keep saying, I'm so clueless about this episode now. I was so sure 45 minutes in, I was like, this is going to be near perfect. And it's just left me feeling a bit strange, a bit funny,
I'm really, really intrigued as to how you'll feel next week. Because next week, with our special guests, we are going to be breaking down the episodes and talking about the 60th specials as a whole. Thoughts on that, and also a bit of like a precursor for the Christmas special. Kind of like a bridge, like the 60th specials is for Doctor Who. And I'll be intrigued to see. I'm assuming you're probably going to rewatch. Actually, no, because we're recording it tomorrow, aren't we? Oh, yeah.
I'll watch it tonight.
Okay, so you'll watch the episode again and see if your opinion has changed at all. I will be intrigued to see if that makes a difference. I'm just getting a picture that I'll need for later that I just thought of. Ha ha ha. Oh, I'm so excited. I'm so excited to tease this to you. Okay, so while we're on the topic of Unit Helipad, can I just say, finally,
yes,
we have a villain that doesn't do the James Bond mistake of talking to the Doctor for so long and not making the most of just attacking them when they have the chance. Like, it almost felt out of nowhere. And he went, you know what, right? Pew, shot you. I was like, finally, a villain who just gets right to the chase. This is good. I mean, it was obviously Renard's reason. He wasn't trying to kill him. He was like, I want to play a game with the next Doctor. Which, by the way, what a cool... He must have loved saying that line, being like, oh, I get to be the one who goes, I want to play against the next Doctor.
Oh, I'm the one. I'm the one that makes all this happen. Yeah, look, I think Neil Patrick Harris was the standout in this episode. I thought that entire arc for, I don't know, I enjoyed the start, setting up the toy maker, the whole TV, the giggle in everyone's head is just people thinking they're right. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's very Russell, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was like, that's very RTD. And I like that. I like that quite a bit. Was that Trinity Wells in there as well?
Oh my goodness. They gave they made Trinity Wells an in-universe version of Alex Jones. I cannot. They put giggles in the water and it made everyone think they're right. I was like, my mom looked at me and she was like, what are you? I was like, I'll explain it later. I haven't explained it to you. I haven't had a chance, but like, because she won't know about the Alex Jones show, which is probably better for her sanity. But oh my goodness, I could not. I really honestly thought she'd be a news reporter, and I was like, how are they going to work this? And it's just, no. It's her saying that she won't put the wristband on. Fair enough.
Yeah. Well, I think...
Anti-vaxxer.
A lot... I know. That's exactly
there were a lot of
what...
modern-day things in there. You know, you never need any help hating each other, cancelling and all this stuff. There was a lot of...
Yeah, cancel, cold, all that.
I love Russell for dealing with stuff like that, but doing it, like, seeding it into the plot. He's a master of that. It's a master.
Absolutely. And no, I think there are a lot of good stuff in The Master. What's happening?
He's a master. The episode, The Master.
Who? Yeah, in his tooth? What was happening there?
We'll get there in a minute. But sorry, go on, you were saying, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just thought of a funny bump.
I was just saying that I think a lot of this episode worked. I really enjoyed the direction for the most part, especially when we're in the Toymaker's realm and it's all the puppets, and then we've got, you know, the worldwide premiere. I thought that those scenes were absolutely fantastic and proper creepy. When that little doll is coming out of the corner, out of the shadows, I was like, that's some scary imagery.
And Donna
that's
just some beats proper the scary. Ever-loving life out of it, which I love.
Yeah. Donna, bam!
I'm having none of this.
I'm Donna and you're a goner, or whatever she said.
Yeah. My companion.
So that was fantastic.
My companion. Oh, brilliant.
But I think, I'm surprised, this didn't feel like Donna's last episode. Don't
because
you think?
It's not.
I don't... It's not.
No. There's no confirmation, by the way, but it's not.
It's not. So what do you mean? What do you think?
Okay, let's tackle this head on, because nearly everybody I have spoke to has said they absolutely loved the episode. They thought it was great. They loved what they did with the bi-generation. They thought the whole episode was fantastic. Two people I've spoken to have said they didn't like it. And one in particular said they thought it was an assassination of the script purely to keep Tennant around. So,
okay.
I think it's important to discuss spin-offs, because that is probably what's on everybody's brain, seeing, oh, David Tennant's still around at the end of the episode, and he's got a TARDIS, and there's a tease that Yasmin Finney has already been off to Mars very briefly. So, what do you think about the prospect of David Tennant getting a spin-off? The implications of it, when it might happen? Literally just a big open question. Answer it however you feel, because I'm really excited to get your take on this.
It's not going to happen.
Really?
I can guarantee you it's not going to happen.
What makes you say that?
It might be some form of audio adventure or a comic.
Okay.
But purely because David and Catherine's schedules, for one, are chock-a-block. And two, it's like the same argument people have been making as to why they might never make a proper, fully-fledged Eighth Doctor series, is because if you have two coinciding series, about, you know, the Doctor and their companion traveling in time and space, it's very confusing for the casual audience. And if, I don't know, a newcomer was trying to get into Doctor Who and saw, oh, that's David Tennant, Catherine Tate, this must be Doctor Who. So unless it was called, you know, 14...
Just call it 14.
Donna, let's call it 14.
I actually quite like that. That would be a good name for it, just 14.
14.
Someone said Dr. Smith would be a funny idea on Twitter, and I was like, that'd be all right.
Yeah. Yeah, well, look, I don't think it would ever happen. I don't know. Troy,
confirmed
your
as
thoughts?
Of 20 minutes ago, Rusty Davies has said, we have not seen the last... I'm joking. I want to see your face.
Oh,
see your
my
face.
Gosh.
No, he said in the commentary, we have parked the 14th Doctor. He's parked. He's getting therapy. You know, we're leaving him be.
He's getting therapy.
It did not sound like this is final. It also did not sound like he's coming back. It sounded very much like, I've got the world's favourite Doctor just chilling now, and I can bring him back whenever I want kind of energy. But, like... he didn't say anything in either way. So he's got the opportunity to do it if he wants, but isn't necessarily following up. Now, I've thought about this a bit, and what we've got to remember is, when Shooty comes into Doctor Who, unless for some magical reason the viewing figures shoot up like they did with Tennant, I think Tennant was lightning in a bottle, much like Smith, when the television landscape was very different. Chances are, viewing figures will start to drop off over time for Shooty again, like they've done with Capaldi, like they've done with Jodie. I'm not going to pretend here to you that we're going to have some magical change just because it's got Disney money. I don't know how you feel on that.
Okay.
But I personally, what I wonder is, people saying, oh, Tennant's going to undermine Shooty. I personally feel like if you already are invested in the show and invested in Shooty, you're going to watch Shooty anyway. And as long as you don't clash the two shows at release time, some people might just watch Tennant, but these would probably be the people who would only watch that are probably the people who wouldn't bother with Shooty anyway. People who didn't bother with Jodie just go, I stopped watching after Tennant left. Oh, Tennant's left. I'll come back and watch him. Then I'll dip off again. I just want to see that again. So I do think there is an interesting comment to be made about the distinction between the casual audience and the loyal audience. Because the loyal people, whether you like Jodie or not, a lot of them still stuck with her era. Whether you liked Capaldi or not, a lot of still stuck with his era. And I feel like regardless of who's there, the people like you and me, who have nothing better to do with our lives, are going to watch Doctor Who until we die. Whereas the casual people, if they see a chance to get another show they could watch, and having more eyes on the franchise as a whole, if they're doing this universe, it's maybe an opportunity worth taking. I don't know. I wouldn't do it yet. I definitely wouldn't do it, and
for
I wouldn't
a 14
announce it yet.
Show.
I would get Shooty's first series out of the way at the very least, if not more. But I think it's an interesting concept for down the line, to possibly bring that back. And then in bringing back some of the casual people who went, I didn't bother with Shooty. I like those 60th specials. I didn't really but care about what came after. They go, more with Tennant. Do you know, maybe I should watch Shooty. You know?
Maybe. I don't
this
know.
Is, this
it
is me
seems...
really going like, this is not me, like, this is just theories. This is based on conjecture and just me talking out of my backside. Because look at my room. All I do is talk about nerdy stuff all my life. So I have to theorize. But that's where
and
my head's at.
I can respect that. I can respect that. No, I understand.
Oh,
I understand
my mic
where
my
you're
drink.
Going
Cheers.
With this. Oh, very rude. Very rude. But, yeah, okay, sure. And I've been wrong about...
No, please,
you know,
argue with me.
Was,
not in a rude way. I mean, I genuinely do want you to try and talk it down because I'm intrigued.
I think I'm right. I think
yeah,
I'm
exactly.
right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I've always been right.
I've always been right. So, well, you know, I was wrong about David Tennant becoming the 14th Doctor. So strange, strange things
we do
can
have
happen.
On record that video of you saying 14th Doctor, that's not happening. No,
That's not happening at all. And I ate my words.
But to be fair,
happily,
as I've said to you before, that video did have you calling Paul McGann Daddy McGann. So that makes the video worthwhile. And it will stand
it
the test of time purely for that comment.
It is a classic. It is a classic. So anything can happen in this silly blue box show.
It can.
But I don't think, I agree with you. I don't think it'd be the right move if they're going to do anything until after Shooty's first series. I feel like a lot of time and effort and money will be put into Shooty's first series. I'm excited to see what a Disney Plus takeover for Doctor Who looks like. I'm excited to see the forefront of that. And yeah, I think that will be the case. But after Shooty's first series, maybe there'll be the unit spin-off. Maybe we'll get that Sea Devil show, whatever the heck they're doing.
Two things. Can I add
Troy?
In?
Two things.
Did you remind me of one? I've heard the argument saying to some people a unit spin-off would be too boring. What if the unit spin-off has David Tennant?
Oh, maybe.
Get eyes. But also,
would he do that?
Need I remind you, this is not the first time a David Tennant Doctor has been left on the sidelines. However, this time, he's not trapped in a parallel universe. And this time, he also has a TARDIS, which the plot went to great lengths to ensure he had. By going, even though the Toymaker's gone, I've got a hammer. Let's use his universe for a bit, even though he's already been and gone. Smack, there's a second TARDIS. They went to effort to do that, which I liked, by the way. I'm saying it in a mocking way. I did like it. But there's an effort going into that to make sure 14 has the opportunity to be the Doctor again in his own way if he wants to. That's what makes me think that this is like... It's like Chekhov's gun. I have got a gun sat here, and the ammo in here is it looks like David Tennant. There's a blue box in it. I've loaded it. It's ready. It's just there. Right now, I'm busy with this gun I've got in front of me. But if I ever fancy getting another gun and firing this one off, it's ready to go. Like, it's just sat there, and it feels like it's been poised in that sense. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it does set up.
It's right
something.
Here,
it's
I have
in,
it. I have,
it's interesting.
I have David's
you've
gun.
Got, you've,
I have
you've
David's,
got David's
gun.
Gun right there. You're absolutely correct that they did go to effort in order to give David's Doctor a TARDIS. That's an interesting
I can sense Crispy having a panic attack now over that revelation.
Well, I think, I don't know. It's literally the same as Journey's End with the Meta Crisis Doctor, except this time they didn't take out the deleted scene where
exactly
the like,
because
go and
they
grow
tried to do
TARDIS.
This once before. If you don't know, they tried with the Meta Crisis Doctor and Rose in the script originally, and they filmed it. The Doctor gave 10-2, I think, as he's like casually known, a chunk of TARDIS and went, "Grow your own. You can have your own adventures." But they went, "Let's not set that up. That's not a good idea. Let's just say they lived happily ever after." But this time, the exact same creative team said, give him an actual TARDIS, the same one that we're currently filming in, so we don't have to worry about a second TARDIS set. We could just use the same one, because it's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Do you know what I think? I think Troy's thoughts is going to have a right ball talking about this, because I am firing all cylinders theorizing about this stuff.
Are you going to make a Troy's
I think I will.
Video
I think
this?
I will. I was already going to make a video. I was literally planning it. I was like, I'm going to make a video saying that I really think 14 should get his own series. He's enough. And again, David said in the commentary for The Giggle, he went, I didn't play it any differently. To me, it wasn't written any differently. I didn't play it any differently, which is surprising to me because 14 feels vastly different to 10.
14
I love
feels
him.
Different.
And
14 felt angry this episode.
Yeah.
Don't you think? There were some moments I was like, is this some kind of control? But no, it was just... I don't know, they were probably trying to make the point that, yeah, he needs to let off some steam.
Exactly. So, and I was fully prepared to make a video on, like, Thursday, Friday, being like, I don't want him to go, ha ha ha, I think he should get a series. Ha, ha. And in my head, I was like, partially because I'd literally just got Baldur's Gate 3, and I was like, I'm going to play this to death, and I have been, it's very fun. But also, I was like, maybe we should wait until The Giggles come out. Whatever this bi-generation thing, let's see how that plays out, and it may reframe the video. And I'm very glad I waited, because now I've got a lot more to say.
Yeah, no, there's
so,
plenty to
I
say.
I will cook either tomorrow or Monday. I will be cooking. The gas stove will be lit, and I'll be enjoying
myself.
We'll
just let him cook. We will just let him cook. Troy's thoughts will come back. Yeah, I'm hoping today I'm going to, at some point, record my thoughts on The Giggle, because I've been slowly but surely recording my thoughts on the Starbeast and Wild Blue Yonder. And now The Giggle, and I'll hopefully get that up tomorrow, which will be lovely. So if you're listening to this on audio platforms, it might be up.
Your videos are like an event piece now for me, because you don't do them weekly anymore. So every time you get one, I'm like, right, let's get the popcorn out.
I think that might be the way. Like, I'm still putting in the exact same amount of effort, but it's exactly. all for one video instead of four.
I think people are really enjoying them. Me too, and this is not to big you up. I mean, this as a viewer as much as your friend. I really do think that you can tell, like, the new videos have been way, like the effort.
Thank you.
Not way better as though your previous videos are bad, because I liked them anyway, but it's like...
No, I can see
that this is like more of like passions in it now, and like it really like
absolutely.
It works, and like it's different for you to my content, because you don't play Payday, you don't go, there's a new Payday update, can't wait to hear all about this. Whereas for me, it's a similar interest, and I'm dead keen to always see what you do. So I'm really excited to see your thoughts on that. It's going to be good. So you tell me when that video is going up, and if I have to stay up, I will do it. I stayed up till 4 a.m. The other night watching the Game Awards, and I regretted every choice I've ever made in my life because it was an absolute joke. Let's not go there.
You got Baldur's Gate 3 because of it, I'm assuming.
Mm. I did. One game of the year.
Like every award.
One game of the year. I just wiped my mic again. And I was like, do you know what? I've been waiting. It wasn't out on Xbox for context. It was out on PC and PS5. And even though I own a PS5, I was like, I think it's coming out on Xbox. I'll wait and get it on my home console. And then they just shadow dropped it in the Game Awards. And I was like, all right, I'm buying it. So, yeah.
Nice.
Zero experience of Dungeons & Dragons, by the way. So this is like an adventure trying to get into this. But
cool.
It's fun.
Cool.
We've
got a million other things to talk about with this episode,
exactly,
though.
And I'm wondering how we do this, because obviously chat have got questions, we've also got a bingo card, need I remind you, to go over.
Oh yeah, okay.
So what do you want to do next? Like, have you got a particular plot point in mind you want to focus on? Because if you have, let's stick to what we're focusing on.
I think just the whole unit base looks lovely, and I think Shirley Ann Bingham was great. Not as utilized as in the Star Beast, but still a welcome presence.
Yeah.
Mel, I mean, I'm all for Mel. I don't really know much about Mel, but I love the fact that Russell watched Power of the Doctor and was like, oh yeah, let's make that a plot point. Mm-hmm. And be like, yeah, Kate offered, like, we saw the job offer.
Yeah,
in person.
And Donna got one, which I loved. I loved. Yeah. She went 60 grand a year, 120 grand, five week holiday. I was just like, done. It's like,
and she's like, so, oh.
I literally screamed laughing at that.
Maybe Donna would take up, because they set up in the Star Beast that Donna just lost her job. So maybe, she'll take up. But another thing I was wanting to mention is the fact that all of this takes place within a day in Donna's life.
She's had a whirlwind 24 hours, let me tell you.
I would be so exhausted by the giggle.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be running down those corridors and be like, can we have a nap in one of these many rooms in these scary corridors? I'd be like, please.
In fact, it literally is, because she meets the Doctor at night.
She's wearing the same clothes.
Well, but she meets Doctor at night in the Star Beast. It's then daytime the next day when they get in the TARDIS for Wild Blue Yonder. That adventure is, an hour long in real time as well as in ours. Then they're straight into the giggle. The Doctor regenerates at sunset, and at night, 15 splits the TARDIS up. So it literally is. Yep. But bar the end scene out in the back garden, which they try and suggest has been a while after, it's all within 24 hours. Which, by the way, I think it's nice to mention, Bernard Cribbins, they talked in the commentary, Russell wrote an entire scene where they talked about Wilf dying in the context of Bernard Cribbins passing, because they filmed it around the same time. Apparently he wrote this big scene. It was very fresh off the top of the mind because everyone was grieving. And nearly everybody signed off on it until Phil Collinson went, no, what are you doing? And Russell went, he snapped out of it and went, yeah, you know, you're right. He needs to be alive permanently in the universe. Let's let him just kind of be alive off screen, which I think was the right choice. I didn't need to be crying again. I didn't need that.
No, I think it was really, really sweet that they, at the start, I don't know how, I think they must have filmed the giggle much after the passing of Bernard, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But I thought that the director did a really good job. They obviously had some kind of double and used a line from The Poison Sky or whatever. It was like,
he knew the episode. I was about to blow his mind, and he just knew it anyway. Look at you.
No, I saw that. Someone was like, I'm pretty sure that's from...
That's The Poison Sky when they've got Sylvia out the car and the Doctor turns up in the taxi. Yeah. He's like, come on. He's like, yeah. But if you pause to look, because that was one of the clips they put out this week, and I tweeted about it, like, the stand-in has got a proper thick white beard, which Bernard didn't have, so that was the first immediate tell that it wasn't Bernard there.
I didn't.
It's in a passing moment, but I was actually sat on my computer and I paused it and went, oh.
Hold on a second.
Yeah. And then you could kind of tell the audio wasn't, mixed in perfectly, because it's a 2008 audio clip being like, you go with the Doctor! But it's a nice way to have his voice in there at the very least, which was good.
No,
I liked that.
I think it was good, and I think it was, well done, Phil. I think that was the right call. Mm. Absolutely.
So there you
go. To keep Bernard alive in the universe, and may he live on forever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the old soldier.
So that was nice, and I thought Kate was good. Kate got quite a cool scene where the giggle took over her mind. I was like, on your Gemma Redgrave.
And can I just say, well done. Like, Russell, is he psychic or something? Because did you see some of the discussions after the Starbeast happened about Shirley Ann Bingham going, I can't believe they didn't cast a disabled... For context, Ruth Madley is disabled. I'm putting this out there right now before I say this. But people going, can't believe they made a disabled character, but it's an able person in a wheelchair because she crossed her legs in a disabled chair. As if all disabilities are the exact same. Let's not get started there. But I love that there was a debate about that in the Starbase.
Within the episode.
And then 2 weeks later, Kate's like, I've seen you stand up. Don't lie to me. I was like, what? What is this meta Deadpool level thing happening right now? Like, it's like he predicted people were going to respond that way. And went, you know what? Put that in the script.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past Russell.
Neither would I.
If this happens, people will, you know, some... unfortunate souls will comment about that and feel the need to comment about that.
Some absolute beep 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 beep.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, for the most part, I very much enjoy. I think the direction kind of went underappreciated. I was really impressed with a lot of these shots. Yeah, especially in the Toymakers realm, I enjoyed that entire sequence.
Oh, so good, so
and even the shot of the by regeneration. Where it kind of like, we're on the unit helipad, which is fantastic, but it kind of spins around the two doctors. I was like, that's quite a cool shot. So yeah, I was impressed, but I just think the ending very much, it's still confusing me. It's very convenient.
Okay.
But we'll see.
Fair enough. We'll see
how I feel tomorrow.
Our guest is listening. They just messaged me to say, have I missed the announcement? To say, no, you haven't. So I have a plan, Crispy. Okay. I vote we do our bingo game. We talk about next week's episode, and then we do some Q&A at the end to tie up any loose plot threads we haven't talked about. That sound good
to
you?
Let's do it.
Because we've already been recording for 50 minutes. Can you believe this?
It's crazy,
bro. I've got so much more to say.
Crazy.
I've got so much more to say. Okay, so, ladies and gentlemen, we transition to the bingo card. Ladies and gentlemen.
Bingo!
All right.
Nicely done. Nicely done. Go. So, hang on. I need to get the bingo card up in paint.net so I can carry on adding to it and saving it. Hang on a moment.
Here we go. Look at that bingo card.
I pressed a button and it hasn't opened. Oh, there we go. It's opened. Can people still see you in there? Yes, they can. Okay, Crispy, pick something out on the bingo card that we had in this episode that I can tick off. I get it ready. There we go.
We didn't get Susan back. What a missed opportunity. That's another conversation we should have about how I don't think this was necessarily the best celebration of Doctor Who.
No.
In itself.
I think it's a celebration of Doctor Who's peak rather than the show, which I think is an interesting debate to be had, because I'm not sure if I agree with it.
Yeah.
We got good episodes out of it, but...
That's a good YouTube title, Troy. the 60th is a celebration.
I hereby copyright the title. It can only be used by the people present in this Riverside call, myself and Crispy Pro. If you want it, you can have it, buddy.
Oh, we've got on the bingo card, it says Trinity Wells news reporter returns. So
let's tick that off. We talked about her, Alex Jones. They put chemicals in the wristbands that made the frogs think they're right. Again, I always if you don't realise, there's a famous clip of Alex Jones, who I think, was he a news reporter originally? How did he start off? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't spend my time...
He's one of these like conspiracy theorists. I don't know if you ever thought the Earth was flat, but that kind of person who believed that they put chemicals in the water that turned the frogs gay. That's the actual quote. If you've never heard it, that's the kind of brain power you're expecting from that kind of thing. And that's what they're doing with Trinity Wells, which I respect. I think is a very... it's another thing to do irrelevant. It's what they did with J. Jonah Jameson in No Way Home. They kind of made him the Alex Jones type rather than working for the Bugle.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. What else, Crispy? Oh, actually, every week we've had one of these where I go, does this count? Bless you. Since every week we've had one of these where I go, does this count? I'm going to do it again. 14th Doctor says, I'm ready to go. He doesn't say I'm ready to go, but he says Awanzi, which means let's go. Does it count? Yes or no?
Sure, why not?
See, he's just withered down now. He would have said no last week. He's
would have said no last week, but I'm like, oh, whatever.
All right.
Sure.
All right, so we tick that off. Pick something else, Crispy. What else? Oh, wait, I haven't been saving the picture.
We have a...
Two crosses added.
Toymaker musical number? There definitely was. That might be one of my highlights.
Can I just say...
Patrick Harris looked like he was having so much fun.
I love how we now literally have a heated fight between three iconic uses of music in Doctor Who. We have I Can't Decide with the Master, Rasputin with the Master, and now Spice Up Your Life. And I don't want to be that guy, while I think Rasputin is the best use of music in Doctor Who, I still think it's the best of the three, like, use-wise, I actually think that I might like Spice of Your Life more, because Neil was just in his element so much. With the, like, he says it only, he's like, I don't know how to dance. Liar. You absolute liar.
Fib.
Yeah.
Fib.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
I don't know if there's anything else on this bingo card.
All the strange creatures plays. I do want to mention music briefly. There's a motif. Don't know if you saw it on Twitter, but they used it at the end of Wild Blue Yonder. They used it again in this episode. Bit of music that was actually taken from the Face the Raven suite. From like the scene where 12 and Clara are discussing her going out and dying. I just thought that was a nice touch, but they didn't use all the strange creatures. There is still one more thing to cross off. Can you spot it?
Okay. The Doctor uses a non-tenant catchphrase.
Did you miss the River Song mention?
Oh. What is it? Where's River Song on the card?
Middle bottom.
Oh, River Song mention. Yeah. That was nice.
So there you go. That was a River Song mention. There was indeed.
I can't believe we never got bingo. We got so close to bingo.
Yeah, we
twice.
Last week were like, oh, we're bound to get this. We're bound to get bingo. Edge Returns or Susan's. I think I said Susan's a safe bet. I am surprised she didn't come back.
I am surprised at that as well. I thought that was going to be the one payoff for this being a 60th anniversary celebration.
Look.
I thought that was going to be the big, wow, we've got, you know, maybe it was a scene between Shooty and Susan or something like that. You know, the old and the new tying it all together. I'm surprised by that because, yeah, I thought it would have been a perfect opportunity for that to happen. But, maybe, I mean, we can't rely on cameos, I suppose.
This is what I was going to say. Maybe I'm just someone who's very good at spinning things for, like, the positives. Maybe that's just what I'm like at this point and I need to accept it.
I think you are, Troy.
However, can I make a point that in a world where in a lot of the things we see, there's a lot of nostalgia plays, a lot of people coming back, I kind of appreciate that the multi-doctor twist was something we didn't see coming, and it was, here's the next Doctor with the current, and it was just that. It wasn't let's bring people back for sake of cameo's sake. I think
Mel. That the same thing could have been said for that.
That I would say is an exception to the rule because she is actually also in series 15, and this is like season one, and this is like a precursor to that.
Oh wow, I've never seen you correct to season one yet. That's funny. We're gonna have to get used to that.
I'm not gonna enjoy it. I can't
wait for us to talk about the start of Doctor Who season one next.
Everyone in the chat is going feral over the fact that apparently Shooty does say I'm so sorry, but does he say I'm sorry, I'm so sorry? Because Crispy was quite happy to not let me tick it off over him saying the full phrase in Children in Need. And
I mean,
saying,
we can do it. We're still not gonna get bingo.
Yeah, and he said I'm sorry in Wild Blue Yonder. So hang on, if we combine 14's I'm sorry in Wild Blue Yonder with 15's I'm so sorry in The Giggle, we've got it. Do you want to count
it
now?
Let's have it. Why not?
It's like How I Met Your Mother. Legend, wait for it. Wait one episode later and the next Doctor will say Derry. Legendary.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Also, Billy Piper cameo. The leak said that Billy Piper shows up in the flashback, but she doesn't, so... I mean, do you count Billy Piper cameo in the Hooniverse ident card? I'm trying to get bingo here. No. I'm trying desperately. This is a shambles.
Well, there's no way because the next one over is Donna dies, and I thought that was going
she
to be a
she dies for six seconds
sure
on the operating
thing.
Table. I don't know.
Well, I mean,
I think we're going to have to hold our hands up and say... We didn't get bingo.
We
didn't get bingo.
We got quite a few things, but we didn't get bingo.
Or, do you know what?
What?
I'm going to say, I'm going to exercise... The Billy Piper cameos in the Hooniverse ident card, and also a copy whose arms were slightly too long, but still, for all intents and purposes, looked like Donna, burned alive aboard a ship. So I am saying, ladies and gentlemen, we got Crispy.
We got bingo, baby. Where is it?
Come on.
Bingo.
All right.
So do you know what? I'm saying we got bingo. I don't care. I'm stretching the narrative.
That's fine.
More in the chat. No bingo, sad face. Two messages later. Bingo!
Bingo.
That's how we, ladies and gentlemen, that's how we twist the narrative. We are the showrunners now. We twist what we want.
Absolutely. We do. We very much do.
But there you go. There you go. So that was exciting. That was very, very good. Okay. Right.
What's next, sir?
We have one more feature to get out of the way, and then it's audience question time. So you all had better... Get your questions ready, and I want some hot takes. I want some opinion. I want lots of things, all right? You know, ask us lots of questions about the plot, because there's definitely things we've missed out. Gallifrey being restored was a post-credit scene. Imagine if they start doing those. Oh, my goodness. I like that. Hashtag Crispy for showrunner, hashtag Troy for script editor. So can we shake on that right now? We agreed?
We can give it a go.
Shape on it? Yes. Epic, epic.
We can give that a go, for sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, Crispy is going to get set up for the Who's There hotline. If you don't know how this works, a very brief explanation. People who subscribe to the max tier on the Patreon, the... what's it called? The ultimate... I can't remember what it's called. The $15 tier. It's been a bit since we've done Patreon stuff because this man went to the UK for 3 weeks. So bear with us. But we are a little bit behind. This is November's hotline. There will be one more hotline later in the month. We also have 2 watch-alongs to do, which one of them is definitely going to be the Giggle. I feel like we have to do one on that. I'm really intrigued to do that with you.
Sure.
So we'll do those soon. We're going to call this week and plan that out. So don't worry. You will get everything you're owed, even though it's late. But one of the features, once a month, you guys get to send in a up to 60-second clip. One of them has exploited it and sent a minute 20 in, but said it's for good reason, so I'm trusting him. But you get to send in a clip, give a message to us, ask a question, whatever it may be. So if you want your voice in the episode, head over to the Patreon, patreon.com/whostheredw, where I'm happy to announce, if you've missed our social posts, IRL content of myself and Crispy is now available. It is not the Doctor episode.
What?
We wouldn't dare paygate that for like 3 months ahead. But we did, or 3 weeks, sorry, we did a special episode talking about The Marvels, which is obviously the Marvel film, and because the film flopped harder than anything conceivable, and also because Crispy pointed out, I'll give him credit because I hadn't thought about it, we didn't want the first bit of IRL content on the channel to be non-Doctor Who. We're going to hold off and release it publicly when it comes out on Disney+. So you have got a good few weeks on Patreon of early access for IRL content, and you can access it at any tier. So $5 or more, if you want to watch the IRL episode, please go do it. We've had 2 patrons since we announced it, so clearly it was exciting to a couple, which I appreciate. So thank you to those.
No, that's good. And someone in the chat, has asked why I'm such a negative toe rag, and my response to that.
I was going
to
pick it out.
But my response to that is just you wait till you see the Marvels review. If you thought this was bad.
Do you know what?
I'm a negative Nancy in that one. I'm not usually negative.
Do you know what? I
enjoy this episode for the most part.
I don't think you're like a negative a Nancy, Crispy. I'm going to defend you. I'm going to be your guardian. Like in Baldur's Gate.
Yeah.
I'm going to stop. But
stop
I literally, I think that you just weren't vibing with it that much. But I think as a whole, you aren't as into the Marvel thing as I am anymore, as I am like these days, right? Like that's the argument, but
no. Yeah.
You can hear more on patreon.com/whostheredw.
Yeah, go and watch it. It's an interesting watch. I think we do have a very good discussion about it.
Yes, but I agree, Laura. So, it's not fair that the film flopped. It did deserve better. It deserved much better. So
it did. I mean, they should have marketed it. Anyway, that's a separate discussion. Go and watch
it. Pay your actors studios. Anyway, so here are our 4 Who's There hotlines. Then it's Q&A time with the audience. This is going to be a long episode. I'm loving this. I love chatting about new episodes. We have been waiting for the 5 of our 88 episodes. Man, my goodness.
Beautiful.
Oh, and then we're going to announce our special guest. So get excited. So,
okay.
Crispy,
who's
let's
their
go.
Hotline?
Let's go back over here. Let's go back over to our main screen. Roll our first one.
Hang on.
Oh, I forgot we have a jingle.
And welcome to the Who's There Hotline.
Who's There Hotline.
With Troy and Crispy.
First up, we have Connor McRae.
Okay.
Are these themed at all, or did they just submit their
I literally
calls?
Just went, it's time for a hotline, send your stuff in. I have no idea what any of these are about. The only thing I know is that I heard Capaldi's voice at the end of one of them, because I was trimming the ends off.
Have you screened these?
No.
Oh, gosh.
Live reactions. They're not going to say something offensive, and if they do, then...
We'll see.
At the end of the podcast.
We'll see. It's live on air.
It is. Don't give me a reason to have to screen these. I want it to be a surprise to us both. Right, Connor, what have you got for us?
It's not loading, of course, because this is the beautiful thing.
Well, while you load it, Sheld Kyle in the chat has added to the negative toe rag thing by saying, Crispy isn't very negative, Troy is just very, very positive. I think that's a better description. That's a better, it's like the Party Thor episode of What If, then.
Oh my god.
That was the call to my people, what the hell was that?
I'm testing all the sound effects on the soundboard, and the only one that seems to work is Bastille.
That's as it should be.
For some reason.
Ew. So none of them working.
Why is it not loading? What do we save these as? Are these MP3s?
Well, you know what we could do? If you want, you could head back to Discord and we could both hit play on the sounds at the same time, and then that way the audience will hear them, you'll hear them, we're good. Do you want to do it that way? Have you got Discord handy?
Sure.
Okay, let's do it that way. Let's do it that way.
I can do that.
That'll make it easier. And if the soundboard suddenly starts working,
play
we'll get back over to it.
You'll play it through your computer, yeah?
Yeah, we'll both basically... Let's both get ready to hit play at the same time, yeah?
Oh, gosh, Connor's goes forever. Okay, let's go.
Can we just check the order? What order have you got them in? Because they might have sent differently to me. on Discord. Let's go Discord order.
Oh, on Discord. I've got... okay, well, then let's change it. We've got Grace, then the Boost Boss, then DW14 and Connor
to
finish
with. Yes, okay, cool. So we'll start with Grace.
Okay, we'll start with Grace.
We'll do 3, 2, 1, go, and on go we hit play, yeah?
Yep, sounds
good. Live tech support with Who's There, a Doctor Who podcast. All right, 3, 2, 1, go.
Hi, Troy. Hi, Crispy. Tis I, Grace. So my question for you both this fine eve is, what is your favorite quote from the specials and why?
Oh, this is even better. Now we've seen the giggle. Favorite quote from the specials. What would you say?
It's going to be, spice up your life.
That's it.
I don't know. There's many, many good lines of dialogue, I must admit, in all of these specials.
Think funniest. I'm going to go with funniest. Tuna Madras.
Smells
nice. Tuna Madras. Just the way Jacqueline King says it.
Oh,
perfect.
That's perfect delivery from Jacqueline. Yeah, well done. Well done. That's good. That's good.
Hello in the chat. Please, whoever that is, that's Grace Trexel, says, please, can you do audiobooks? So there you go. There's your call in, Grace. Do an audiobook.
Very nice. Very nice.
It's time for our biggest fan and the fan of Tilly Steele, who featured in, was it the Witchfinders? He wants the Tilly Steele interview, if you remember. The Beast Boss. Crispy, say it for
us. It's the Beast Boss.
There we go.
Let's do it.
3, 2, 1, go.
Hello again. Welcome to Who's There, at the Beast Boss podcast.
Stop trying to steal it, mate.
From me being the Star Beast's boss to the sussy Amogus game.
Oh, for goodness.
So far, this 60th birthday party has been a lot of fun. But I have a question for you both. What does Doctor Who mean to you? Somebody else has asked this question. I can feel it. Things are getting rather hectic in my life, what with finding a job and such. Until next time, Alan Z, boys.
Bro just gave us the Beast Boss life update in the middle of it as well.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Good luck. Good luck with your job hunt.
You too.
But what does Doctor Who mean to us? What does Doctor Who mean to you?
I don't think, for the record, I don't think we've been asked that question before, like, to that extent.
No.
Or my memory's really bad. That is possible. That is entirely possible. I mean, there's the cringy argument of that, like, it's been with me since I was a kid. It's always been something I could love and... You know, whenever, like, when I was a kid and I used to, like, play pretend or imagine who it could be, it was always the Doctor. Whenever it was, like, own clothes day, the first few times in school, I always wanted to go in a pinstripe suit because I wanted to be, like, David Tennant. It's just...
Yeah.
It's just that constant that's always been with me that I can't imagine in my life without, which I know sounds so cringy. It sounds so cringy, but I do not care.
Truly.
And you know what? Without it, I wouldn't have this man over here who I got to have a lovely weekend with a couple of weeks ago. I really miss you. It was so good, man.
Gosh.
I really wish you could do more in person.
I miss you too, man. I miss you too.
He says through gritted teeth.
Oh, gosh.
Ugh, yeah. Annoying person. Gosh.
But, yeah, Troy, that was so cringe, and I would never be that cringe about a question
top
like
my cringe.
That.
I want more cringe.
But
I want to have gritty
teeth. For me, Doctor Who means the world. Doctor Who is the start of my day, the end of my day, my first thought in the morning, the last thing I think before I go to sleep. Doctor Who is not only a part of my life, it's reaching a religion. It is my awakening. It is my slumber. # crispy for showrunner. Thank you.
I literally was about to take a drink and you put that piano music on and nearly gagged on my... If I had drunk more before you did that, I would have started properly choking. You devious little bugger. But you know what? Hang on. Put my drink down. Round of applause. You put me to
Thank
shame.
You.
Well done.
Thank you, sir.
Well done.
Thank
well done.
You. Appreciate it.
All right, we got two more. So we move on now to DW14.
Smash through it.
Ready? 3, 2, 1, go.
If you could put a character from any show into Doctor Who would it be? It could be from Wednesday, it could be from Marvel, anything. Who would you put in?
I hate that he says Wednesday, because it just reminds me of the special episode that never was. If I'd watched Wednesday, like, when it came out, we could have done that.
I enjoyed Wednesday.
It's a great show.
Okay, any show ever. I want Detective D.I. Alec Hardy from Broadchurch to have
Twitter.
An adventure. Bloody Twitter! To be in Doctor Who. That's mine. Because you can never have too many David Tennants roaming around the Doctor Who universe.
Doctor Who has proven you can't have too much David Tennant hanging around. Chat, give us some of your suggestions while we're answering this. I'd be intrigued to what people say. God, for me, I don't know. That's tough. I like so much nerdy stuff, man. That's not... That's hard.
I'm going to need an answer, Troy. I'm going
to
need an answer.
Narrow it down to a franchise for me, Crispy. Make it easier.
Oh,
or a show or something. Help me.
A show?
A show, franchise, game, whatever.
Any show. That 70s show.
What's her name that was in WandaVision? I don't remember her name. Her.
Done. Perfect.
No, seriously. So we're saying character, not actor. Like an actual character.
An actual character.
I need like a countdown timer to not take too long on this.
We've got a lot to get through.
Do you know what? I don't know. I don't know.
Anything. I don't know.
My brain. The problem is when there's as much as I like. It's almost like choose. It's you have so much to choose from that you can't think of something. I'm really struggling.
It's not that deep, fam.
I want to give a good answer. They have paid us money to ask this question, Crispy. Take it seriously.
It's not that deep. I have. I've given the perfect answer.
Okay.
One of Chibnall's best characters. Mind you.
Who was it again? Sorry, because I was in the middle of thinking.
D.I. Alucardi Broadchurch.
Yeah. So, actually, do you know what? What's Olivia Colman's character's name? I'll go with her.
Oh, my gosh. What is...
Ellie.
Ellie, yes. Ellie. Well
there
done.
You go. Makes it easy.
Done. The whole broadcast.
Shout out to a couple
cast.
Of people in the chat who have said, let's see, Laura Joel from The Last of Us Imagined. That would be a weird one. We go with Darth Vader from
Optimus
Doctor Who.
Optimus Prime from Transformers.
Optimus Prime! the Thing
Where
from Wednesday.
Sam Witwicky?
I can imagine The Thing from Wednesday being in Doctor Who. They could make that work. Okay, one more. This is the big one from Connor McRae. So let me tell you, mate, there's going to be police at your door if this 91-minute-second clip is not worthwhile, all right? Police will be knocking.
Right, here we go.
All right, we'll be doubling your Patreon fee just because you made it too long. I'm joking. Ready, Crispy?
Yep.
3, 2, 1, go.
Hey, guys, it's Connor. I had a question I wanted to ask you today. Oh, my God, are you joking? My doorbell just rang. I'm not even... This isn't even a bit. Literally, my doorbell just...
This is like, a bit.
I'll deal with this for a sec.
Who's the door?
I'm the doctor.
Oh, my God, it's Matt Smith, the 11th doctor.
This is where I come in.
What are you doing here?
Blimey, sorry. Christmas Eve on a rooftop, saw a chimney. My whole brain just went, what the hell?
It's kind of strange, I'm not going to lie, especially because we don't have a chimney. Also, you rang the doorbell.
Nobody talked to nobody.
Come on! Has anything to say to me today?
Why are you getting so angry? I'm just saying, we don't have a chimney. There's nothing more you can do.
I could do so much more.
Well, I'm sure you could, Doctor, but hang on. Did you just degenerate?
What?
I said, did you just degenerate?
What?
Did you just degenerate?
What?
No, don't do the what thing on me.
No!
Okay, what the hell, I'm just going to roll with this. Peter Capaldi, Doctor, do you have a question for Crispy and Troy?
So, anyone for Dodgems?
Right, cool. Yeah, so the question is that. Whatever Mr. Capaldi just said. Cheers. Cheers, guys. Remind me to never answer my door again.
No!
Look, I'm not saying you should always break the rules and send more than 60-second clips, but I will say I let you off for that being long, because that was absolutely amazing. Crispy, tell me the soundboard's working for a round of applause. I'm guessing that's what you're looking for.
I'm trying to, but it's not.
Can we get some clap emojis in the chat, and we'll just clap here? Just clap emojis in the chat. That was absolutely brilliant. If you're
that
not already working
so
in improv,
perfect.
You need to be doing so. There we go. That was amazing. Very well done. Love it.
Unreal.
All right.
Oh, no. But yes, I would love to play Dodgems with the doctor that answered that was at your door for some strange reason.
Yeah.
That was brilliant. Well done. Fun fact,
I've got a friend coming over to Liverpool next Saturday, and I've suggested to her, I said, you know, there's a bumper cars place in Liverpool I haven't been to yet, fancy going. Do you know what? I'm gonna ask again, and I'm going to go, do you know what? I was asked on the podcast. Should we make it happen?
Specifically from the doctor.
She goes, what?
Yeah.
Just go along. Yeah. Go along with it. Go along with it, you know?
But it'll make sense.
I think
wow.
that's going to be...
That was a good bit.
That was fab. That was really well done. Fantastic.
That's going to be tough to beat.
Crispy, before we get the Q&A section, should we do the guest announcement now or after the Q&A? What do you think?
Let's do the guest announcement now.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it is time to announce our special guest. We haven't got promo art, but what I have got is something even cooler. We're going back over to the TLS screen. I'm going to hide this image, and I'm going to get the next one ready to go. Crispy has no idea about this, and I'm so excited to get his reaction. So, he knows the guests, by the way. He knows who they are. He just doesn't know what's coming here. So, our next guests, it's two people at once. I need a different name for the file. There we go. Just getting the picture, because I want to build this up properly. There we go. Shrink the image down so it fits on the page, and boom. Okay, we're ready. Actually, I'll fill this up as much space as I can get. So, our next guests, you may know best from both starring in for a good chunk, but also managing, running, uploading, all the good stuff for the DW 2012 fan film series.
What?
One of them was the Doctor for four series. I've nearly got the number wrong there, I promise. I'm sorry, Luke. I love you dearly. One of them was the Doctor for four series before regenerating into a certain Afro-possessing man who no longer has an Afro that we interviewed a long time ago. And the other is the still current serving companion, previously two Luke's Doctor, but now two Afro Man's Doctor. It is Luke Newman and Megan Shirley of the DW 2012 fan film series. They're both coming on together in next week's episode to talk about the 60th, the Christmas special, and all sorts. But Crispy, the thing you don't know, get ready, because if you've got a drum roll, I really hope people in the chat have not seen this, because if you have seen DW 2012, you'll know how amazing Meg is in that. I can say it because she's still in it. Luke, you are brilliant, but you're not in it right now, so you're irrelevant. I'm saying that for a joke. But Meg has now actually been able to not just be a companion in DW 2012. She was on your screen earlier tonight in the giggle.
No way. That is so funny.
For context, I have put a picture for the audio listeners on screen right now of the 14 and Donna getting off the helicopter, and Meg's just stood in the background next to the helicopter, ready to unload some stuff off of it.
That is crazy. Oh, wow. We're going to have lots to talk about.
I'm not at liberty to say whether she teased there was a worth... Shit. I'll say this. She told me it would be worth waiting till after the specials. I don't want to get her caught out on anything, because she didn't tell me this.
Wow.
She just went, let's do it in November. And I was like, is there a reason? She went, I'm not saying anything. So I didn't know this.
That is so funny.
She hyped it up and she went, this is something worth waiting for. And I was like, okay, all right. And then she sent me that picture while we were watching, and I was like, excuse me?
You know what? For all the things that the Reddit leak has done, I'm glad they didn't leak this.
How amazing is that?
And congrats. Oh my gosh, that's unreal.
So there you
go.
That
is huge.
She also put on her Twitter that she appears in a couple of shots of Unleashed as well, while they're like doing some blue screen stuff. You can see her in the background. But
cool. Look,
so she gets to be an amazing companion in a fan film series, and also gets to be on screen with David Bloody Tennant. Like,
unreal.
She's living the dream, man. Now. Like, what the hell? I want her life.
And unit helipad as well.
And oh, on the unit helipad. You really did not realize how amazing the unit helipad was going to be, did you?
I can't believe it.
Amazing. So, I will say this, folks. We are going to be recording this episode tomorrow. So I don't know how we're going to do a Q&A section. If you have any questions, let's say, comment them on the YouTube version right now. For audio listeners, we won't have recorded it yet. It will be in about 24 hours' time. So on the YouTube version, if you got questions, drop them in there real quick. And then we may well pick a couple out of the episode. But we've got a lot to talk about anyway, so who knows? We'll see.
Cool.
But there you go. So how was that worth the hype, Mr. Crispy?
That was worth the hype.
What did you think it was going to be?
I was expecting that you were in a DW 2012 fan film. I thought that's where we were going with this. I thought you would have had a scene or something that you were going to show me.
Look, if that was the case, I wouldn't have been able to hold my water. I would have told you. I'm not. Like, it wouldn't have been on the record, but I would have told you. I'm not.
Yeah, right.
I'm just saying, if you guys do want me in the series, just hit me up. I mean, we were in it already as Who's There, but if you want me in there, hit
me
up.
We're canon. Wow. Well, congratulations.
Who would I be then if I was in it?
You would be Troy the Archer live.
Oh,
you'd be just some Archer.
Just some Archer.
You'd be Robin Hood's best friend.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, there you go. So there's our guest announcement. Hope you all enjoyed that and it was exciting for you. So now we finish with a Q&A.
With some cool
Do you want to pick the first one out?
Cruisy questions. Just from the chat?
Yeah.
Okay, no worries. This is from Schmat S. And they say, will the TARDIS slowly fill up with artifacts from episodes? Now the jukebox iPod is there. I would love that. I would love for the TARDIS to feel more homely. I feel like one of the main complaints that Troy and I had, like, whilst the TARDIS is beautiful and brilliant and large, it does need to feel more homely. And they said that in this episode, like, it does need to feel more homely. So we have the jukebox in there now, and I hope mm-hmm. there's some iconic tracks for Ruby and the Doctor to jam out to. But yeah, I would love that. I would love it if by the end of series 15, I mean season 1. We're up to series 14.
Just stop calling it season 1, man. I need time to grieve.
But I like that idea. I like that idea a lot. Mm. Troy, what question do you want to answer?
I was just replying. Meg just messaged and said, I'm listening. Really appreciate it. She said, maybe we'll put you in the series in the future. Yeah, yeah, all right. I'm just getting teased. I'll get a train to wherever you guys live. I'll do it, you know. Wherever you guys live, why am I saying that? I've been there. This mysterious place that I do not know. Okay, let's pick some questions out. Ooh, there's a lot. Laura, you've said, do you think there'll still be a spin-off now 14 is still around? Let's get a one-word answer. We've talked about it right off the bat, Crispy. You didn't think so, but now you've talked to me. Do you think 14 will get a spin-off, yes or no?
No.
I'm sticking with yes. There you go. We're at opposite ends. We're at opposite ends. Intriguing. We'll see how that ages. Crispy, yeah. Over to you.
How do I feel about 15's personality?
How have we not talked about... Oh my goodness.
About Shooty?
We're idiots. We're idiots.
I mean, I'm for it. He seems a lot more compassionate than some of the doctors we're used to in Doctor Who. I think this might be the most compassionate doctor we've had thus far.
The hug and the kiss,
hug and the kiss. But like, I'll take care of you. You know, I have some days where I wish Shooty would give me that kind of reassurance that everything's going to be okay. But no, I don't live in that world. I wonder if Meg was on the scene on the helipad when that was going down. Anyway,
no, I did message her and she was like, no, I was only there for that. Imagine if she'd seen that, blimey.
See,
but I think she was only there, unless she can clarify another way, but I think she'll tell us tomorrow. But she was only there for that scene. They were two different days, because they said in Unleashed that the scene with Shooty appearing, like, it was a skeleton crew for people, like, that day when he turned up, like, it wasn't full of people because they were trying to keep it secret. As leaks proved, that didn't work. But anyway,
did not.
Maybe Meg leaked it. Meg, did you leak it? No, I'm not framing her. I'm not framing her. It's a joke.
We'll ask her next week.
Was it you?
Oh, that's so funny.
She told Luke, and then he put it out on a burner account on Reddit.
Yeah. But yeah, no, that's an interesting question. I think Shooty will be a much more, I don't want to say grounded, but a bit more emotionally aware, yes, shall we say,
well,
than distant.
I will say, Russell says, don't take 14 getting his, like, therapy as evidence that 15 won't have trauma. That literally lasts him 30 minutes and then he's right in the middle of it. So,
yeah.
So don't expect him to be all happy-go-lucky. But I will say, by the way, hearing his theme in the episode already, that riff, dun 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 dun, is stuck in my head on a loop. Like, it sounds much like the main theme.
It's very I Am the Doctor-y.
Good in episode.
No, good.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, and by the way, the jukebox, just in case anyone was wondering, another commentary question, which TARDIS was actually whose, the one with the jukebox? Did Shooty just take the one with the jukebox? Apparently the way they did it was the TARDIS that came out, the copy one, is the original. It's like he moved the TARDIS along and, like, the copy stood where the old one was. So the jukebox one is actually Shooty. He didn't just see that 14 had a jukebox and went, I'm nabbing it. It was meant to be that way.
It did come off like that. He was like, I want that one.
Yeah, because I was like, wait, so whose is whose? And Russell did say, interestingly, when in one of the episodes in next series, it will be proven to you that the TARDIS Shooty took was the old TARDIS. No idea what that means, but that sounds interesting. And he also said that they'll use a screen in the TARDIS. There's like a big grey blank thing on the wall. He said that will be a screen in episode 6. So there you go. All the leaks from me, but they're just from Russell, so they're not really leaks anymore. But there you go. There you are.
Very good. Very good.
Okay.
Other questions?
Whose turn is it now? Me?
Yeah.
Okay. Who have we got? I'm not intentionally trying to pick the same person over and over again, but Laura is really asking the questions that I want to answer. Who picked up the Toymaker's tooth? And why have they got a jetpack? Because they picked it from the edge of the helipad, which is, like, floating over London. So someone's got some flying, like, Dr. Eggman jetpack going on here.
Like, I don't know. That was, I mean, again, it's
someone
obviously...
Again, red nails. Same as Last of Time Lords.
And allude to, Last of Time Lords. It can't be the same person. Didn't they explode?
She died in the end of time.
Yeah.
Miss Trefusis.
She did. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Maybe it's Ruby Sunday. You know,
Russell did say no information on the Master for now. He went, oh, no, nothing there. So this is like a slow burn.
But it was almost unnecessary.
Like, can I just say, it feels to me a little bit too soon because Sasha's Master just literally died. Now, look, I know we saw the same thing happen with Missy.
In the other episode.
The Master dies, doesn't stay dead, whatever. It's very Master of them. But literally 3 episodes later, after the Master dies, is crushed by rocks and just lying on a planet about to blow up, apparently had a duel with the Toymaker and got imprisoned in a tooth forever. Is that an old Master? Is it a current one? Is it the next one? I don't know.
Strange. Hmm. Strange.
Maybe the Master bi-generated and Sasha went off to the Master Time.
maybe that's the case. Or maybe Missy bi-generated. Who knows?
Well, if that was the case, if Missy bi-generated into John Sim, they were looking at each other, would it be wrong that...
Stop.
Oh, that's a deep cut. That's a deep cut. You get that?
That is a deep cut.
Again,
I'm so sorry if you understand that.
Ha, 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 ha.
Ha, 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 ha.
All right. Pick something else out, Crispy. What do you got?
Yes. Troy and Crispy. This is from Draw with Cameron Smith. Who or what do you think is the one who waits or the Meep's boss? I think they are the same person. I think it's the big bad, presumably of Shooty's first series. It's interesting that they're setting up stuff like this now, and I'm intrigued to see. But the one who waits, have we heard that phrase before?
In the trailer.
In Doctor Who? In the trailer.
Well, it's the girl who waited, but...
So the answer is Amy Pond.
I'm going to double down. I think I might have predicted this before, but I'm going to double down on it. I'm saying it's the Duchess Indira Varma in Series 14, Season 1. I think whoever she is going to be
The bit. Okay, interesting.
That's my prediction.
They keep killing Susie. Okay, that's interesting.
You got
that's
any thoughts?
Very, very interesting.
Further to that or based on it?
No, I have no idea. No idea. A lot of people think it might be Jinx Monsoon. Maybe. I can see that being a possibility. But I think that episode happens relatively early in Shooty's series, so probably not. What?
I just love the way whenever, like we mentioned, the Toymaker, Dr. Master Ellerin Schatt always writes what he says in, like, German phonetics. Like, she always writes, Weltweit Premier. She's put, Sie one who waits.
Sie one who waits.
Okay, who next? How do we know... let's stick with Dr. Master, why not? How do we know the Doctor is the only one who is bi-generated? We don't. Much like most things in Doctor Who, you never really know what's going to happen. So
I can't believe they did it.
I really, really love it.
I'll come around to it eventually. Probably.
You will. Do you know what? It's gonna be like, you'll wake up tomorrow and you'll go, do you know what? You'll be like Thanos, perhaps I treated you too harshly. all your listeners, he is currently sat there looking very unimpressed, twiddling a pen. I don't think he agrees with my statement.
He's shrugging. I did have like 3 hours sleep. So
yeah, he texted me at like 4 a.m. his time being like, I can't sleep. I've got loads of ideas for the podcast. So get ready for cool podcast stuff next year.
Yeah,
I don't even know
what
they are.
I've got a million ideas. But I was also thinking about Crispy stuff and I was like so excited for, you know, Doctor Who and stuff. So I was just had a
he
million, million things. I had a giggle in my head. Had a giggle in my head all night. But yes. Okay, let's do some final questions because I need to sleep again and that's
okay.
Nothing new.
Let's wrap it up. Yeah, you can go back to bed. For the live people, I'll hang around for a bit if you guys want me to. I don't mind. I've got nothing better to do with my life. What are you looking at me
you
like that
hang
for?
Out with this guy? You want to hang out with this guy? This fella right here? I'm kidding.
You
Troy,
finish
come
the
back.
Show. I'll just sit
Troy,
here with my headphones off and cry.
Troy, come back. I need to apologize. Troy, headphones back on. Headphones back on.
You want me to put my headphones back on? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. I put my headphones back on. They're on my shoulder. What now?
Oh my gosh. Wah.
What's he saying, everyone? I'm very upset.
Oh my gosh. Okay, right, I'll finish the show.
How many questions are we limiting ourselves to?
Two more each.
Two more each. All right, who's up? You first or me? Who's going? I'm lost.
You.
Me.
Right now.
Draw with Cameron Smith. First question FC, right at the bottom. Troy and Crispy, I love the fact that David Tennant can claim he is still the Doctor. What do you think the Earthbound Doctor, nice name, will do next? I think he will have some tuna madras.
Chicken.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, oh, there we go.
There you go.
Much
yeah, yeah,
better.
Yeah.
Much
or the
better.
Giant sausage roll. There you go. Bring that back. I want to see it. I want to see the giant sausage roll, man.
Okay. Yeah, I would love to see that. Here we go. Mr. Scarlow has said, thoughts on the possible Sea Devil spin-off. Did you see that article?
This got put out, ironically. I saw it on my phone literally 2 minutes after we said goodbye to you on the last night.
Yeah, weird.
Like,
I
literally
think,
dropped you off at where you were staying. I got in the car and went, Sea Devils, that's weird.
That is, it's a very, very strange, I don't know. I think there is some weight to the idea that they're going to do something with Doctor Who iconic villains, but something on the Sea Devils? Doubt
I prefer
it.
The anthology idea, different monster every week.
I like the anthology idea, absolutely.
But I think it'd be cool if also we could have like other Doctors dealing with them. I'd love to see some of the
also,
classic
also
Doctors
very
come back,
cool.
Tales of the TARDIS-esque.
Anything could happen. Mm. As Russell has proven, anything can happen, and I don't know what to expect next.
The Cyberman Cybermasters bi-generate into Cyber Daleks.
Oh my gosh, I don't need anything else bi-generation.
Cybermaster bi-generation, it's possible. It's possible.
It is possible. It is possible.
It is
there.
Possible.
Right. Very interesting.
Crispy, you're up.
Yes. What other concepts for regenerating do you think we could see in the future? Okay. An excellent, excellent question. I mean, the obvious one is tri-generation, where three Doctors...
that's actually what happened in the unused version of Day of the Doctor.
Yes.
Tennant is there,
you don't
and all of a sudden, Matt Smith shows up, and then all of a sudden, John Hurt comes out like Alien, pops out the chest.
I don't know what else they could possibly do with regeneration. I have no idea. Maybe I'm just not creative enough to come up with stuff like that.
You're supposed to be the showrunner. Showrunner's going to have ideas. Come on.
I will have ideas, but not.
Ready?
Those
I'm going to probe into your brain with a sonic screwdriver. It's very good at resonating concrete and skulls. You're going to give me an idea in 3, 2, 1. Boom.
I like the idea that maybe they could regenerate into an animal for situations. You
the
know,
kangaroo
the
doctor.
Stuck, the doctor's stuck in a slippery situation.
Hmm.
And the only way to get out is through a teeny tiny crack in the wall. And they turn into a little worm.
Oh,
that's how they get
no,
out.
No. Do you want me to get the memory worm?
The memory worm?
No need, Strax.
Sorry, I've been hit by a cab.
I will become the memory worm. All right.
Okay,
one more question each. This is a lot of pressure. I mean, I'll answer more, but we're going to pretend like I'm not going to. So this is very tense. This is very tense. Oh, into the Hooniverse. This is a good future question. What happened to the quote of Yasmin Finney working with Shooty Gatwa? They did not have a scene together. Russell has said he wants to see more of Yasmin Finney in Doctor Who, so maybe it's down the line in Series 14, Season 1.
I think that's very much on the cards. Very much on the cards. And I think that Shooty and Yasmin and Finney are friends in real life. So I wouldn't be surprised.
That's one hell of a friendship I need to see.
I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they're on the text chain. They're in the WhatsApp with Russell saying, hey, you know, maybe we could have an episode together, because it worked for David and Catherine.
It did.
It can happen again. It can happen again.
And it will
very
with David
good.
And
so,
Catherine
yeah.
in the 14 spin-off coming to Disney
no,
Plus
no,
in 2024.
No, it won't. No, it won't. Okay, here we go. And we've got one from Lalix and Drax.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, do you think they'll bring back Neil Patrick Harris as the toy maker in a few years? Example, escape from his box in unit. Or do you think he's actually gone for good? I would like it, Neil Patrick Harris to return. I genuinely would. Maybe it would be cool towards whenever Shooty's last season is, to be kind of like a full
intriguing
circle moment.
That would be good.
But I was very compelled by... the toy maker and Neil's performance. So absolutely, I mean, as a fan, yes. And in the show, I think it could work. Troy, do you agree?
I challenge Russell to bring him back, and I hope that Russell will say, challenge accepted.
Very good.
Apparently, he does say in series 14, somebody mentions the toy maker and his toys in a passing remark. So he's not out of the mines. So there you go. Keep an eye out for that reference. And then you can Leonardo point at the screen.
All right,
Crispy. I don't want to put pressure on you, but this is the last question. So stakes are high.
Okay.
What are you going to pick? What is your last question on the giggle tonight going to be?
I thought I was done. Oh my gosh. Okay.
No, you got one more.
Do you think we get the bonus over to have it? Okay, this is from old mate Sarah Glover, and they said, "Do you think we will get the broadcast date or name of the next episode at the end of the Christmas special?" High chance. I don't think we'll get the release date because they were even like really late with the release dates.
For
these specials, so I doubt it. I think the common theory is that it'll be around May after Easter time, maybe.
The thing to say to you was it Jane accidentally maybe said it at that premiere, Jane Tranter, that it was May. So they might give you a month for a season.
So I think it'll just be coming soon in 2024, and it'll be this beautiful 1 minute teaser trailer of all these beautiful things they've been filming for the quote unquote reboot of Doctor Who. And I'm very excited. I'm intrigued to see how that looks and what it looks like, because I'm sure they got that Disney money. But yeah, I think we might get the title. Don't know about the date.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think a date will be good, but I think we'll get the month. We'll definitely get a trailer, but yeah, it'll probably be like May or spring or something like that. I'll probably say spring.
So I might say spring.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
Cool. All right. Too cool for school.
Right, Crispy. I have to ask you the question I asked you last time. Has your score for the giggle changed in any way, shape, or form since the start of this discussion? Has it changed from 7.5 at all?
No, let's sit comfortably at 7.5 right now. Let's just sit comfortably there. I think that's generous. All right, that's it. That's it. I'm not going to say any more before I change my mind.
What a negative Nancy. What a negative Nancy.
I'm not a negative Nancy.
No, I'm just disappointed.
Sorry.
Get out of the call.
All right.
No, don't really need to say bye. Crispy, closing comments?
Thank you, everyone, for being with us on this 60th review journey. We've had our Blue Yonders. We've had our Beasts. We've had our Beast Star, the Star Beast boss. Can't believe we never said that. And we've had a little giggle. We've had a laugh along the way. So I thank Troy. You're a legend. Thank you for being here for all these specials. And thank you to Crispy for being here as well and reviewing all of these episodes.
Let me say it, mate. I was going to say I love you, buddy, and I appreciate you being here.
And I was talking to my bi-regenerated self. Sorry, that was me over there. That's me in the corner.
Oh, I'll forgive you because you used REM. That's fine.
That's me in the spot. Light.
Bi-regenerating.
Generated.
Trying to keep an eye on Neil.
And his toys.
And I don't know if I can catch this ball.
So I need my other self.
Ooh. Take him off the shelf. I don't know.
Beautiful. That's the Atlas
reference. There you go. There you go. There you go.
Cool. Thanks, guys. Troy. All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for watching and listening to episode 88 of Who's There, a Doc 2 podcast. Next week, in episode 89, Luke and Meg from DW 2012 will be joining us to break down the 60th as a whole, give our overall thoughts on it, and also our hopes for the Christmas special. And of course, Meg will be talking about being in Doctor Who. I mean, it will be a bit hard to avoid that. So it's going to be a big episode. Get ready. There will be twists, there'll be turns, there'll be shocks and surprises. Wait till we tell the boss. But until next time.
Oh my gosh.
It's goodbye from Crispy.
Goodbye.
It's goodbye from me. Goodbye. And we will see you all next week in episode 89. Alan Z, baby.
Alan Z, baby.